All right, so here we are again in the book of Revelation. The end of the end times. Yeah, that's what it is, the end of the end time. Do you know that's literally true? Time will end. So it's the end of the end times, and it's the end of time, right? And we can trust the Lord in that, just like we do in everything. All right, so we were in chapter 8. We started chapter 8. I had gone through a portion of it. And we saw in chapter 8, the seventh seal was opened. Angels were given trumpets to sound when the next events would occur, and an angel with a golden censer approached the golden altar where the incense is burned, the altar of incense, and the smoke from that is representative of the prayers of the saints, and scooped up in that golden censer, scooped up a bunch of hot coals and flung that censer down into the world. And that's when God renewed His judgment. Remember, there was a long, silent pause for 30 minutes. You ever try to just sit and be quiet for 30 whole minutes? 30 whole minutes. You know, the Beatles sang a song once, and they had a timer in there, and they counted down the minutes. And it seemed like it'd take forever to get that song done, but it was just a few minutes, right? That's the way time is, right? When things are bad, time seems to go on forever, doesn't it? When things are good, it goes by like that. You think, wow, where'd the time go? That's what Liz and I say when we look at each other and we say, wow, it's been good. Where'd the time go? All right, so nonetheless, he threw it down there, and that's when things really started to happen. Then they opened the first trumpet blew. They didn't have to open it, they just sounded it, right? And that was the signal, sound the first trumpet. And so in the first trumpet, vegetation on earth was struck, but not all of it, just a third. God spared two-thirds of it, and wreaked havoc on two-thirds, right? And then the second trumpet sounded, and the seas, the water of the oceans, were struck. And a third of the living creatures in the sea died. Have you been down to the seashore since red tide? Have you experienced that? Don't go. It's stinky. It's real stinky. Makes people sick. It's so stinky. So a third of the creatures in the ocean died. So you can imagine how stinky it was. And then a third of the ocean-going vessels were destroyed. That's commerce on earth, right? We get a lot of stuff goes around the world by shipping. It amazes me to see those big ships with those containers on them. I mean, there's hundreds, maybe 1,000 of those containers. And you see they get into rough seas and the thing goes over and all those containers. That means higher prices. But a third of the ships were destroyed under that second angel sounding. And that great burning mountain was hurled down into the ocean. That's what caused all the havoc. Reminds you of the Egyptian plagues. And so then we get down to verse 10. And that's where the third trumpet is going to strike. It's going to sound. And God's wrath is going to come out. You know, that's why all this is God's wrath, right? So I'm going to read verse 10 and 11 together. Then the third angel sounded, and a great star fell from heaven, burning like a torch. And it fell on a third of the rivers and on the springs of water. The name of the star is Wormwood. A third of the waters became wormwood, and many men died from the water because it was made bitter. It was made poison, basically, is what it's saying, right? It became poisonous. So now we have the ocean water struck and we have the fresh water struck. Let me ask you this. What's the difference between a star and a meteor? What's the difference?
I don't think there's any.
No difference.
Bigger.
Generally, the difference is that one is stationary and one is not. Stars generally stay where God put them, which amazes me for the evolutionists. I said this the other day. Evolutionists believe that the universe is billions of years old. So God's been keeping all those planets in their right place for billions of years. That in itself should be enough to convince people that God is real. He keeps all of this in order. Do you realize the planets of our solar system have been going around, I think, for at least 8,000 or 9,000 years? And they never run into each other. They never have a problem like that. God keeps it that way, right? Because He is a God of order. So the difference is one stays in one spot and one doesn't. But this says that a star, a great star, fell from heaven. Can you compare the size of a star to the size of Earth? Just use our star for an example. How many Earths can you fit into the volume of our sun? A lot, okay? A whole lot, more than I can even remember. But the point is, if a star came down, it would destroy the whole Earth. Unless, the only thing I can think of that it wouldn't, if it's one of those, when they implode on themselves, what do they call that?
Black hole.
Come on, scientists. Yeah, black hole. And even light can't get out. It just, I don't know. So, makes you wonder how big this star was. Or maybe it was a meteor and they just thought it was a star, but it's God's word. He said it was a star. So we'll trust Him. Stars produce energy and give their own light, right? That's the difference between a star and a planet. So when you go out at night and you look up and you say, oh, I wonder if that's a star or a planet. Here's the clue. If it's twinkling, it's a star. If it's a steady, solid light, it's a planet. Because planets just reflect. They don't give off their own light. All right? Wormwood is also a bitter desert plant. It's used in Scripture to represent sorrow or bitter judgment. This star evidently contained the same chemical compounds as this poisonous root. It is a poisonous root. If you get too much of it, you'll die. So it has to be administered carefully. So this star appears maybe to break apart in the atmosphere and spread over the fresh water resources of the earth. Does that make sense? So it could happen that way, which then become poisonous to human consumption. Curtis? So what part of Scripture is that from?
16:4, the cross references to be right back to where we're at
now. Okay, thank you. Appreciate that.
You got it.
So the fresh water resources of the earth are now toast, or at least a third of them are. Then the fourth trumpet is going to now sound. In verse 12, The fourth angel sounded, and a third of the sun was struck, a third of the moon, and a third of the stars, so that a third of them were darkened. A third of the day did not shine, and likewise the night. So, what I'm trying to do is interpret all this literally. I'm not throwing a bunch of figurative stuff at you. It's easy to do that, but I think it's a challenge to do it literally. So one third of the light from heavenly bodies go dark. That's anything that's giving light in a third of heaven goes dark. So you look up in the sky, what you were seeing before, it's not there, or it appears not to be there because it's not giving light. Days become shorter because the sun's light is not as great. Nights become longer. Part of the night sky appears as a blank darkness. Earth's temperature is affected because of the cloudiness, the darkness. So the temperatures are going to go down. They're going to be less. So maybe global warmest people ought to read this part of the scripture. It's not going to get warmer. It's going to get colder. Yes, the climate change will finally happen. But I think those on earth will be a bit less concerned about that at that time. Verse 13. And I looked and I heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, "Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth because of the remaining blasts of the trumpet and of the three angels who are about to sound. Now, they're not saying woe as in stop, stop, stop. They're saying woe as in bad, bad, bad things are coming, right? Anybody remember Jimmy Durante?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ha-cha-cha-cha-cha! You ain't seen nothing yet.
That was pretty good.
I remember him. As unbelievable as these events of judgment have been, this angel is saying, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get a lot worse. That's the end of chapter 8.
And you, I never really thought and considered. I always thought about all the destruction on earth, but never really thought about our sun and our moon being destructed too.
That's right.
And the stars.
That's right. Exactly. Because God is a God of creation. He controls it all. So it's not limited to just earth. That's a great question. Why only a third? I guess because God is merciful. Revelation chapter 9. The angels are going to continue sounding their trumpets. Verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fallen from heaven to earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. Now you can compare this with Isaiah 14, 12 through 17 and give you a little more background. The star is a person. It's not a star, a literal star. It's a person. You know, famous people, famous entertainers are called what?
Stars,
right? Because they're easily recognized. They're famous. So this is a person, and it's indicated by the pronouns him and he. He would be an extremely prominent person of great charisma. Why can I say that? Because God is giving him authority with the giving of the key to the abyss. God is giving him power. Right? That's a transfer of power. It may likely be Satan himself. It doesn't say it is, but it may be. Jesus, in his omnipresence and his omniscience, may have seen this event before his own manifestation in the flesh. Jesus may have been referring to this as he spoke in Luke 10:18 when he said, "I saw Satan falling from heaven as lightning from the sky." So it could be him. Evidently, I read down through verse 1 through 5 and encompassed all those verses. Verse 6, "And he opened the bottomless pit," this person. What's that?
Verse 2.
Oh, that's verse 2? Okay. I must have been in a hurry, but we'll keep going. "He opened the bottomless pit and smoke arose out of the pit like the smoke of a great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke, locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green thing or any tree, but only those men," and that would be a generic word for humanity, so it would be men and women, "only those men who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. And they were not given authority to kill them, but to torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of a scorpion when it strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it. They will desire to die, and death will flee from them." So you won't be able to commit suicide and end it. You'll have to suffer. And this is not, as you see there, an instantaneous thing. Some of the other judgments are fairly short. This is going to last 5 months. Nearly half a year, these locust-like beings are going to be on the earth.
Are there demons
there? Absolutely. "This angel star opened the bottomless pit, which released so much heat and smoke, the sun and air became dark." So now we have more darkening. "Out of the smoke also came thick swarms of locusts." Now you understand that's how locusts are, right? You don't just get one or two. The sky becomes black. It's just packed out. And as they move forward, real locusts generally strip all the vegetation. There's nothing left except bare branches. They just goes and falls right before them. Completely devoured. "The locust can only harm people who did not have the mark of the seal of God on their foreheads." Now, you missed one, Curtis. Remember last week we were talking about the seal on the forehead? And we didn't know a lot about that, right? And I should remember this, but I don't. But it's described in chapters we're going to get to. I think it's chapter 16, actually. It's going to talk again, and maybe you read it. People that don't have that seal are going to be destroyed. They're the ones that are going to be attacked, right? As it says here. If they don't have the seal, they're going to be attacked. The locusts were not allowed to kill people. Only torment them so that they begged for death, but could not die. This is part of the wrath of God. This is God's wrath.
It has to be a good period of time between one of the trumpets and this last trumpet, because all of the grass was burned up. And now the grass is green again.
It was a third of it.
Not all the grass.
We'll have to look back and see, but I don't want to go back right now. All right? We'll make note of that. So this torment goes on for 5 months. Now you would think that would be enough time for a person to think, "I can't die and I can't stand this. What's my last alternative?
Help me, Jesus."
Help me, But they don't. They continue right on suffering. Locusts are usually devastating to plant life. They strip it bare. But these were commanded not to harm plant life. Okay, so are we good with the locusts so far?
Yeah.
Verse 7. 7 through 11. The shape of the locusts was like horses prepared for battle. This is John's description of the locusts. They were like horses prepared for battle. On their heads were crowns of something like gold, and their faces were like the faces of men. They had hair like women's hair, and their teeth were like lions' teeth. And they had breastplates like breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was like the sound of chariots with many horses running into battle. They had tails like scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months, and they had as king over them the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in Hebrew is Abaddon, but in Greek he has the name Apollyon. I believe their names mean destruction and destroyer. Now, we've all tried to picture what these things look like, haven't we? I mean, if you've ever read this before, you've sat around and you've thought, well, what are these things? What could they be? So see how fast you can shut it off. That's funny. So see, if you're going to have your phone on in church, you have to practice how to shut it off fast. Okay, so we've tried to picture how these pseudo-locusts may look, because they're not really locusts, are they? We've tried to figure out what modern-day military hardware they might resemble. Have you read that? People say, oh, it must be a helicopter of some sort. Fires missiles out the front. Do they have a helicopter that fires missiles out the back?
No.
Do they? Well, I don't know. I looked. I couldn't find one. They didn't have any pictures of it. So if they do, it's top secret. Okay? But the thing is, they resemble something nearly everyone. Well, not only do they resemble it, they are something that everybody overlooks. What is that? They're demons. They're demons. So, have we seen all the animals of the world? Have we seen all the sea creatures in the sea? There's yet to be discovered life out there on our planet. And what are we doing? Trying to go somewhere else. We haven't even figured this one out yet, except for that we're tearing it up pretty good. So, they are demons. They come straight from the pit of hell, and they have the power of fallen angels. Yeah. Folks, that's what demons are. They're fallen angels. No other way to put it. They are out to destroy anything and anyone that says they love God, they love Jesus. So guess what? You have a big bullseye on you. But the better news is this. You have the power of God in you.
Amen.
Yes, you have the Holy Spirit. Now, these things don't have to be something we've seen before, do they? God's releasing them. So they're just something new on the scene. Curtis?
You just said we have the power of God in us, just like them that are sealed on their forehead. That's why they cannot curse them.
Okay. Good connection. Their mission, the mission of these demons, is not to kill. They're not out to kill. They're not allowed to. But they're out to torture people that are left on earth. Because, you know, we've gone through quite a few things, haven't we? A lot of people have already died. But there's still a lot of people left. Well, they're allowed to torment them, but just not kill them. So for 5 months, they do that. People who continue to deny Christ gift of salvation will suffer. How badly will they suffer? You know how I get a grip on that? I look at how Jesus suffered on the cross. I mean, He suffered to the point we can't even imagine. We can't imagine that kind of suffering. That's how these people are going to suffer. We can't even imagine it. We don't want to imagine it. All we want to know is we're not going to have to be there. Praise God. I don't want to be there.
Well, we know that God is sovereign and He knows what's best. He knows everything before it happens. And these people, if they're going through that, then He's not done with them, obviously, because they didn't receive the marker. He would have been done with them because they're damned if they do.
Okay.
So there's something there.
Now, here's what really...
Maybe they'll say, okay.
Yeah, eventually. I don't think so, though. Amazingly, God is doing this. He's using His enemy's power and forces to mete out His justice on the disobedient. He's using the enemy, His enemies, to judge these people because they won't trust Him. Verse 12. Yes. No. It's not too late until you're dead. Once you die, it's too late. Right? But here's what happens. The more opportunities you have and the more times you refuse, the harder your heart gets so that you're less and less likely to make a positive decision. That's exactly what happened to Pharaoh when God was bringing the plagues through Moses on them. Each time his heart was hardened a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. He couldn't accept God because now his heart is so hardened and his mind is so against God that there's no way he could make a positive decision. That's kind of what these people are experiencing. Right. Eerily familiar, just to a much higher degree. Yeah.
Also, if they blaspheme the Holy Spirit, they couldn't be forgiven anyway.
Well, we'll have to talk about that. I don't want to go into that now. Verse 12 basically is saying this. Hey, it isn't over yet. It gets worse. All right, going on to verse 13 through 19, and I think this is going to wrap it up. Oh, verse 20 there at the end. Verse 13 through 19. Then the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar which is before God, saying to the sixth angel who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released to kill a third of mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen was 200 million. 200 million.
Wow.
Yes.
You hear a lot of people talking about this army and you think it's China. These are demons. That's that army. And they're even releasing these four that are in that Euphrates River when it dries completely up. They're chained out there.
I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision. Those who sat on them had breastplates of fiery red, hyacinth blue, and sulfur yellow. And the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And out of their mouths came fire, smoke, and brimstone. By these three plagues, a third of mankind was killed. Are you keeping track of these thirds?
Yeah.
By the fire and the smoke and the brimstone which came out of their mouths. That's what's killing them. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails are like serpents, having heads, and with them they do harm. The golden altar is the altar of incense, where the incense represents the prayers of the saints of God. And on each corner of that altar, there is a, like, it's called a horn, but it's not like the shape of a horn of an oxen or a cow. It has a kind of a blunt shape to it, from what I've seen. So I'll go with that. But they're called horns. The sixth angel is permitted to release four fallen angels held at the Euphrates River. How do we know that they're fallen angels? It doesn't say that in the verse. God's angels are, His holy angels are never bound. They're free to do what He has them do. They're never bound up. Okay? So that's a clue to them being fallen angels. These four angels had been bound by God for this specific time to bring death to one third of those remaining on earth. You see, God does know all of this. He does know everything is coming, and He has a plan about it. Our God is a God of order, and even though everything here looks like chaos and destruction, it's very well planned by God. He's dishing this out as judgment for their disobedience to Christ. Frank?
I was going to say that, you know, already a third of the earth has died from the fright before this. The other angels have moved up, the star fell and all that. So now He's killing another third. So man, that does not help.
That's right. What's happening to those people when they get killed? Yes, they're lost forever. They're eternally lost. Sometimes I think we think that and talk about it and say it, and it really doesn't impact us the way it should. These are people that are being lost forever. Kind of makes me feel like I want to go out tomorrow and start just witnessing to whoever I run into. The 200 million horsemen are cavalry units. They're cavalry units led by these four fallen angels. They're the leaders. These are demon forces. They are not human. So, like Curtis said, people talk about, oh, there's so many people in China, all these massive armies are going to come. That may be true, but these are not them. These are demon forces, not human. And they kill this third of lost humanity under the leadership of these four angels. The demon horses have lions' heads that spew fire like a dragon. Now, a lot of people don't believe in dragons. But there's a lot of first-person accounts in books from medieval times that people testify that they saw a giant lizard that spews out fire. There's a certain type of a beetle that's found in parts of the world even today. It's called the bombardier beetle. And it shoots little balls of fire out. So it's possible that this can happen, right? It's not far-fetched. It's not theologic imagery of fantasy. I mean, it's true stuff. So they have these lion heads that spew fire and smoke and brimstone. You know, brimstone doesn't stop burning. It's a sulfur compound. And once it gets ignited, it keeps burning. Phosphorus is like a sulfur compound. Phosphorus bombs are like that. They had problems with that in the military because people would throw, the enemy would throw these phosphorus grenades, and if you got that in your body when it exploded, they couldn't put it out. It just kept burning. They didn't have anything to put it out. So they had to come up with something for that. God calls these things plagues. And they have tails with snake heads that do harm. Can you imagine that? They have a long tail, has the head of a snake on the end of the tail. And it does harm. That means it bites. So you can be firebombed from one end and bitten from the back end. They can get you coming or going. They are deadly. They are deadly. And then verse 20 says, or I don't know, my numbers are a little messed up here, so I'll just read this. Don't relate it to verse 20. It says, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by these plagues did not repent of the works of their hands, that they should not worship demons. After all that, they still would not repent. So they didn't repent that they should not worship demons of idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Verse 21, and they did not repent of their murders or their sorceries or their sexual immorality or their thefts. So can you picture this? In the midst of all these judgments from God, they're still killing each other. They're still stealing from each other. Blew my mind a few years ago. I had a gate opener on my gate. My gate is a long way from the house. And you can't see it because there's trees in between, right? So whatever goes out there by that gate, it's like fair game for whoever wants to attack it. Well, this gate opener had a box like this, and about that wide. I mean, it was huge. Somebody stole the box that controlled the gate opener. But I had a cable going through the actual arm. They couldn't get that off. So it was still there. So they just took what they could. Like that's going to do them some good. To me, it was like, I live in Shady Hills. There's not an abundance of rich people out here. And it's the poor stealing from the poor. You know? It was really kind of sad. Made me feel bad. That's what's going on here. These people are lost. They're under judgment. But they're still hurting each other. I guess because that's the only thing they could do. They wouldn't repent. That's right. They refuse to repent. Instead, what are they doing? They're trusting in demons and worshiping inanimate idols. They're worshiping idols. Not only that, but they are dealing with the judgments of God and abusing and attacking each other all at the same time. Shows you how depraved humanity can be. We can't do nothing about him, so we'll bite at each other. Pretty bad, huh? He told us it was going to get worse. Probably still going to get worse.
And these are just the judgments.
Yeah. Well, that's all part of the wrath. All these judgments are God pouring out his wrath on the disobedient who denied Christ. All right, we'll continue on next week with chapter 10. Some of these verses are kind of short.
I did read it. It does confirm that in Scripture.
Okay, so that Mike is making a good point.
Yeah, that is, okay. It's in the Scripture. I read it to make
verse 7.
Sure.
It's back in chapter 8, verse 7. So there was a period of time. Yeah. So we went from chapter 8 to chapter 9, and all the things that happened in between, however long that took, gave the grass that long to replenish itself. How long does it take grass to replenish itself?
A couple months.
No, it doesn't take that long.
A couple days.
If you got the roots and you got rain, then the grass will come back up. Because I see it in my pasture. It was like all brown, and then we got that bit of rain for a day or so. Came back. I thought, praise God, my horses have something to eat. It's not coming out of my pocket. Okay, thanks, Jim, for pointing that out. That's good. Ask the questions. Between us, we'll figure it out. Right? That's what God says. Come, let us reason together. And we'll do that. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll move on to the rest of the evening. Father, we're so thankful that you tell us in your word what's going to happen in the future. Well, Lord, we know what's going to happen to us in the future. We that are trusting you for salvation, we're going to be with you. But Lord, we're seeing the horrible things that are going to happen to those who didn't trust you and who won't trust you. And Lord, they don't have any clue that this is coming their way. The only clue they're going to get is if we open our mouths and talk to them. And Lord, we're only going to do that if your Holy Spirit convicts us that we need to do it. So Lord, I pray that we'll all fall under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and we'll start telling people that they need you. We don't need to tell them how horrible it's going to be, Lord, unless they just force us to do it, but they need you. Help us, Lord, to do that. We lift up again the prayers that we prayed about those people that were mentioned that need you, Lord. Act on their behalf, Lord. Your will be done in their lives. Draw them closer to you. Be with us as we go out from here, Lord. Help us to speak your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.